VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Sadly, the headlines from media across this country have been horrendous. Let me share some with you. Five charged after human trafficking bust in Chicago area. Four people from West Michigan arrested after Northern Michigan trafficking sting. Five arrested in Fayetteville sex trafficking sting operation. Five charged after human trafficking bust in Chicago area. Two Texas teachers arrested on the same day on suspicion of child trafficking. Single county snares 28 suspected child sex predators and rescues 19 kids in Operation Hydra. 16 arrested in Wisconsin child sex trafficking sting. Texas human trafficking ring that allegedly smuggled hundreds of migrants hit with money laundering charges. Help Me kidnapped Texas teen found in California after Good Samaritan sees her handwritten sign. And U.S. is a top destination for child sex trafficking, and it's happening in your community. These are just a fraction of the headlines from various media sources over just the past couple of weeks. Our topic today, the severe problem of human trafficking. Joining us, we have in studio Dr. Richard Schmidt, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church. He also heads Prophecy Focus Ministries. Prior to his current pastoral ministry, he spent 32 years in law enforcement, including becoming acting sheriff of Milwaukee County in 2017 until his retirement in 2019. Pastor Schmidt, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I don't want to use the word excited about talking about this horrific topic, but boy, I am so happy that we get to make this a public issue today.
You know, it's very sobering. I had just gone online and put in the human trafficking, and to see this barrage of headlines, not just from one geographic area in our country, but from all over the place. And you spent over three decades in law enforcement, and so you bring a unique perspective with you here today. But we've got a lot to discuss, but I'd like to just begin by defining, what do we mean by human trafficking?
Well, human trafficking, and we're going to try and be as polite as we can about the particular things that we're going to talk about, but on occasion, we'll probably say a couple of things that might shock the conscience. But when we talk about human trafficking, it's a crime. That's what we can start out with. Human trafficking is a crime that involves compelling or coercing a person to provide labor or services or to engage in commercial sex acts. Now, again, some of this language is a little bit strong, but we'll try and be very careful. But we've got to be honest. We've got to be open about this. The coercion can be subtle or overt, physical or psychological. Exploitation of a minor for commercial sex is human trafficking, regardless of whether any form of force, fraud, or coercion was used. And in addition to this, it may also involve forced labor and the forced labor type markets. All that's part of human trafficking today.
Okay, and we're going to get into some more aspects of this, but are you able to give us a profile of what a trafficking victim looks like? Who's at risk for being trafficked?
Well, there's a rather long, lengthy list. We'll try and give a couple of the highlights out of it, but basically, and I've just ran into this a couple of days ago about a runaway that got sucked into some guy she sees on the internet. He calls her up. They start chatting back and forth. Runaways are highly susceptible to becoming human trafficked. Homeless youth, unaccompanied children, folks that come in through the immigration system, which is one of the huge places where human trafficking has taken place. People of all different ethnic backgrounds that usually have, they're just not well off. They're in poverty or they're looking for help. This is very, very common. Then also the LGBTQI community, many of them, unfortunately, don't feel at home. They don't feel appreciated or loved, and they get sucked into this human trafficking as well. What's even interesting is that people with disabilities, those who have different types of problems, and definitely those with substance abuse, migrant laborers, all these different groups get sucked into human trafficking. And, Jim, it's almost impossible to get out.
Wow. And what about the people doing the trafficking themselves? What do we know about them? Can we profile that type of individual?
Well, again, it's hard to believe because when you look at the statistics, when you look at who's involved in trafficking, it's all different classes and groups of people. We could be looking at elite politicians that are involved in that, elected officials, people with good resources, that is, highly financed. And then, of course, we're more familiar with, you go into the inner city and you have those that are, to be quite frank, very poor and more towards the poverty. And they link up with, they get young people that they'll force into labor and drug trafficking, and they pull them in. So really, it's a wide, wide variety of people that get involved.
I also mentioned in the intro today your 32 years of law enforcement, including your years as acting sheriff here in Milwaukee County. How long has this problem been around, and has it been escalating?
Well, definitely it's been escalating. And it's unbelievable. We're talking about 28 million people internationally are being trafficked as we speak. It's a $150 billion industry. Now, here's exactly why this issue has been around for, of course, my lifetime and previous generations, but it is exponentially increasing. Well, why is that? One of the biggest issues we have is because of the internet issues. Every single person on this planet almost seems to have a cell phone, and that just links them up with this type of behavior. People get sucked into it, and unfortunately, and here's the biggest issue, people are buying, if you will, the product. If nobody was buying the product, there wouldn't be this 28 million people that have been sucked into this trafficking issue. So, Jim, it's a crisis internationally and definitely domestically.
Well, there has certainly been a heightened awareness of this topic over recent weeks, and we know just by looking at the headlines I shared, this is not unique to a single community or state, anything like that. It's not unique only to our country, but as you pointed out, actually a massive international problem. Beside the cell phones, why is this such an issue?
Well, it's a huge issue because, number one, if we have any compassion for a person, you see little children, and especially in South American countries, and the movie that had come out called The Sound of Freedom brought this to an international level. It's definitely domestically. People have just apparently been flocking to see this particular movie, which has heightened the awareness of what's taking place. But we're talking about little children that are being kidnapped, pulled from their parents. And as sad as this also is, we have certain parents that are looking for some money. They're selling their children sometimes. It's just horrific what's taking place. So it's an international issue. It's definitely a domestic issue. The United States mainly is a consumer, I think, based on statistics, much more than a provider of these children. We're bringing them in over the borders. We're bringing them in through the borders, the immigration system. They're being kidnapped. They're being pulled in. And we have a massive amount of consumers in the United States of America.
So is law enforcement being effective in confronting this and fighting the trafficking?
The unfortunate answer to that is absolutely not. I'm appalled by the lack of resources that the federal government, state government, and local government has placed into this. It's a national crisis, yet if you look statistically at how many law enforcement officers are absolutely involved in this, it's a fraction. We're talking 28 million trafficked individuals. What you read as we open the program, this should be not five or six people getting caught. This should be hundreds of people being caught, hundreds of young people that should be pulled back into their homes. So it is. And having been in law enforcement for 32 years, it's really a shame at the little amount of results that law enforcement has had. Go ahead.
What about prosecutions? I mean, are those being caught? Are they being locked up? You know, we'd lock them up, throw away the key. You know, we've had that statement being made, but are people receiving severe punishment, or is this a slap on the wrist?
Well, back in 2022, the statistics came out. There were about 15,000 people that were arrested, and out of those 15,000, about 5,000 were actually prosecuted. the system puts so many obstacles, so many problems in the way that the convictions are absolutely a fraction of what should be taking place.
You call them the hoops that law enforcement has to jump through. Through the eyes of an officer, what are they confronted with? What hoops do they have to jump through in order to bring about prosecutions?
Well, first of all, when an agency, and 4 years ago, I went to a trafficking convention for law enforcement, there were two people from the Milwaukee Police Department that have 2,000 members at that time, two people that were the main individuals involved in one of the major metropolitan areas in Milwaukee. It's a resource issue. So when you have a couple of people that are able to do this, and then they'll go through the hoops they have to go through. They've got to get pictures. They've got to get recordings. They've got to get statements. They've got to get victims that are willing to come forward and don't fear for their life. It is a very intense, very difficult process.
Pastor Richard Schmidt with us today. We're talking about the severe problem of human trafficking. Let's talk about our society. I mean, you talked about consumers for this, and unless there are consumers, it's going to dry up. A market dries up. If nobody's buying pizzas, there aren't going to be pizza stores, so to speak, hamburgers, whatever it may be. What characteristics do you see in our society that is just feeding, it's a feeding frenzy for them as far as the trafficking is concerned?
Well, again, I think the major issue today is that open, intimate activity, and I'm trying to be sensitive here, from young people, children. Now, you talk about the public schools, the public libraries, the public venues where, if you will, sex education and gender identity and all these things are being forced, starting in kindergarten, where the young people don't even have a clue what the emotions and adrenaline and hormones, that type of thing are, and yet it's being forced in, and our young people are being programmed in these public venues about these different things and what they should be involved in and find is natural. Well, we just got to go right back and to the Christian concept. God made a perfect design in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, one man, one woman to procreate and have families. That's it. No sex outside of marriage, no fornication, no adultery. And our society says, fooey on that. We're not going to do it. We're going to do what we feel like. We're going to do what we believe our emotions are driving us to. And that is the absolute downfall, not only of the secular world, but it's sneaking in big time into our Christian churches.
You referred earlier as well to the smartphones and devices. There are alarmingly a number of homes in which, okay, you're 12 years old now, here's your own cell phone, here's your pad device, or younger than that even. We find young people going into their bedrooms, closing the door, and the world is there before them. That's an issue.
It's an absolute issue. And here's where we're at. Mom and dad, and I get it, they don't want to upset their kids. They don't want to get them mad at them. And it's like, well, you know, junior or juniorette, they're not going to do anything wrong. We've got to trust them. No, you don't. The problem is, and it happens over and over and over again, even in our Christian families, that mom and dad say, well, it's okay. And they even sometimes will put on some blockage on their cell phones, and still it gets through.
We're going to come back with this topic here right after the break. We're talking about the severe problem of human trafficking. Pastor Richard Schmidt, our guest here today. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, were the Aborigines that were found in Australia a primitive culture?
No, they weren't, Chris. When the British got there, these people had a very intricate culture and language and art, and even their own brand of technology. For instance, Aboriginal stone knives dating from centuries ago had serrated cutting edges. These were only invented in Western culture after the Second World War. There was nothing at all primitive about these early cultures. All people descended from Noah and his family, and they were technical enough to build a huge ship. Cultures do degenerate when they adopt pagan thought, but are not primitive in any evolutionary sense, and that's the back-to-Genesis truth.
If you want to know more about the creation-evolution issue, visit us on the web at www.icr.org Back to Genesis is a production of the Institute for Creation Research. I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
The severe problem of human trafficking, our topic today. Pastor Richard Schmidt is with us today from Union Grove Baptist Church, Union Grove, Wisconsin, also heads Prophecy Focus Ministries. Does come from a background of some 32 years in law enforcement and talking about this severe problem that we have in society today, not just in the large metropolitan cities. This is happening in rural areas as well across these United States and around the world. Pastor Schmidt, we were just looking at the smart devices. So we wonder how smart these devices are, because it has opened Pandora's box as it relates to the smut that is available to so many. And we were just, before as that break came, you were addressing Christian parents as it relates to the warnings, even from a pastor's heart and from the heart of one involved in law enforcement, about the danger of what's being placed in their hands.
Absolutely. And the unfortunate thing is every young person, they're not stupid. They know how to operate those smartphones that we give to them. And we, the last thing I said, I think, before we took a break was that even parents that are putting some filters on the phones and trying to keep things from the children, we had a just recently I was made aware of a particular situation where a young person was able to get through all the filters, got to horrible pornographic type material, and it led to the person where they actually are taking part in it. So these things are huge issues that take place across the country in local churches. And Jim, I just got to be strong here. This isn't time to sit back and say, well, you know, we just got to be nice and try and let our children do what they want to do. No, it's time to take a stand. It's time to have a sense of urgency about these things. And I just listened to a program on VCY within the last hour, and they brought up this fact, and I think it's a good fact, that we're just at times we get too complacent. And I think we got a ton of people, and I hope we hear from them during the program, that are going to say, listen, we're going to take a stand. We're going to work with our children. We're not going to allow this stuff to come through. And if some of these folks are actually listening and watching this stuff themselves, take a stand. Let's get back to Bible-believing worldview people.
Is this issue being addressed from the pulpit today across this nation?
No, it absolutely is not, because pastors are afraid. They're scared. They don't want to offend people. We're being pretty tough on this broadcast today. I'm a pastor, been pastoring, I've been in Christian work for some 40-plus years, but at our church, we don't pull punches about this stuff. We address it, and every single pastor, I'm encouraging the mamby-pamby, afraid to talk about things because we're going to offend someone. Yes, you should speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, absolutely. But if we don't address it, we don't talk about it, we're basically giving a sentence of death to our young people.
And you mentioned that one of the problems we have today is Christians who are really turning their back on a biblical worldview.
Absolutely. When you look at Pew Research, Barna Research, the percentage of alleged Christians that actually have a biblical worldview is less than 10%. It's horrific what's taking place. So I'm not trying to be, if you will, super negative here, but the statistics are telling us we've got a serious crisis going on, not only in secular world, but also within the Christian community. So, yes, I am a bit fired up about this. I appreciate this opportunity because, yes, there are still leaders in the pulpit. There are still leaders in the Christian community. They're going to take a stand and work to fight this stuff.
You have actually used the word epidemic in this aspect.
Absolutely. When we look at our local churches, and this is exactly the thing, when we talk about if a pastor isn't willing to get up and say, fight pornography, fight the cell phones for young people, fight the cell phones for adults and young adults that are also watching these things and make a stand. It's like it's real easy to say, well, it's just the kids. No, it's not just the kids. It's adults sitting in the pews that are also consuming these things, and they are addicted, and it's tough to break addictions. So, yes, it's a horrible epidemic proportions, definitely within the secular community. But again, most of our audience is going to be Christian individuals, and it's deep embedded in the Christian church as well.
Scriptures themselves are not silent on these issues, are they?
No, there's a multitude of various scriptures that address this particular issue. We talked right before the broadcast about Romans chapter 1 issues. This is a Romans 1 issue. God made it very clear in Romans 1, verse 18, that his wrath involves allowing three degenerate levels of people who absolutely will refuse to turn and follow the Lord. The first step is basically in verse 24. It says in Romans 1, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. That's level one. And this has been going on ever since humankind started, when men and women basically went to idolatry, and all of a sudden they're involved in illicit relationships. Then God says, step number two, verse 26, Romans 1, God gave them up to vile passions. Well, again, to be point blank, he's talking about homosexual and lesbian type behavior. It's been around for millenniums. And now we get down to level three, which I believe is where America and the world is at today. Step three is God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, and he goes on and lists a bunch more things. So we're at that level where God has basically said, okay, you're going to keep fighting me, you're going to keep going against me, I'll make society what it is today. I'll allow Satan to have his way, if you will. And Jim, we are seeing it so profoundly in our school system, in our work system, on our cell phones, on our entertainment. It's everywhere.
It is everywhere. And the Word of God talks about a society that really abandons God. And that's where we are today. We have abandoned God in so many ways. And you've been with us before in this program, and we've talked about things to come, and the last days bringing about perilous times. And if this is not part of that list of perilous times, I mean, it is right there before our very eyes.
Well, absolutely. You were kind to have me on when I wrote the book on globalism, The Great World Consumption, which I put out last December. And much of that book, it's related to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, which is what you just quoted. Mm-hmm. But know this, that in the last days of the church age, perilous, difficult, dangerous times and seasons will come. And absolutely, what we're seeing take place in our country and internationally is absolutely that. These are perilous, horrible times where children are being abused, people are being trafficked, and all of these things are sneaking very slowly and underneath the covers, so to speak, into our church world.
So speaking of that church world, how do we get around this? What role does the church have toward this issue?
Well, one thing, and any time, and I'm going to classify what we're talking about as it's a sin issue, but it's also a social issue. Many times, okay, we can get on the radio like we're doing today. I can pound my fist and say, I hate this. We need to fight it. We need to protest it. We need to go out on the streets and make a big noise about it. That is not going to change the situation. The only thing that's going to change is when God's people do actually two things. Number one, all of these social issues, unless the gospel is given to people, unless they make a profession of faith in Christ, they'll never have a changed heart. They've got to come to Jesus Christ. That's the number one issue. Evangelism, which is one of the next things that the Church of God needs to fire up and get going again. We don't like doing evangelism, but God's mission was evangelism. Luke 19:10. Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save those who are lost. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful and acceptable saying that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. So we got to get back to the mission of Christ. Next, we need to take a stand on these things. The pulpits need to start thundering again on these particular issues. And God's people need to basically bow the knee, if you will, to the Lord Jesus. Oh, wait a second. The word Lord, is he Lord of our life or not? If he's not the Lord, then we're going to do things that are displeasing to him. So we need to get back to Christians making Jesus Christ the Lord of their life.
So is this a biblical Christian church problem, or is it a world problem out there?
Both. Mm-hmm. Definitely it's a world problem, because the secularized world, if you look at statistics again, we go back to Pew and Barna research, approximately the world number, percentage of people that actually follow Christ is about 4%. 4% of 8 billion people. That's a pretty small number. So when you're looking at 96% of people that don't know Christ as their personal Savior, if indeed their statistics are correct, then we've got a whole lot of work to do. And in the God's people, which are a small little dinky 4%, yeah, we've got a lot of work to do, which is why I enjoy VCY and VCY America and those types of outreach, because the people out there need to hear what is being said over the airwaves.
Indeed. You need the gospel message, friends, and that is what is proclaimed over and over and over again. You've been with us before also talking about future things, and as it relates to the time of tribulation, the Antichrist, and so forth, and you indicate that this whole matter of human slavery is actually going to be happening during the time of tribulation as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that we see taking place today is setting the stage, as my good friend and mentor, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, used to say, is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. If we go to Revelation chapter 18, it's talking about Babylon. Babylon today is really not much of a place, but Babylon is going to be, according to prophecy, the whole area is going to be resurrected. And it goes through, and we can't go through all 13 verses, but it goes through a massive amount of things that will be taking place at where the Bible makes it clear Antichrist's headquarters will be in Babylon once again. And you get down to verse, or chapter 18 of Revelation, verse 13, and it's talking about things that are for sale. It starts out such as cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. Slavery. Human trafficking will be on steroids, so to speak, during this horrible coming yet tribulation time.
My friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Pastor Richard Schmidt is with us today, and we're talking about the severe problem of human trafficking. And we are opening our phone lines today for your questions on this topic of human trafficking. And of course, that brings a bigger picture of matters like pornography and what is all available to this world here today, and what is coming through on cell phones and smart devices and things of that nature. And we'll take your questions today, your comments as well. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If we want to make a difference, we actually have to speak out against this. I mean, that is, Scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We have to acknowledge this is going on in our society, and when we see it, we need to call it forth, do we not?
Well, absolutely. And boy, I just love to see those phone lines, which are starting to line up as we speak, folks just coming on and saying, we're with you. We're going to fight this. We're not just going to fight the social issue, though. We're going to make sure our family's in tune. We're going to make sure our devotions are being done. We're going to make sure that we're spreading the gospel, which is the only hope for America.
And that's where it starts. That's where it starts. It starts with that individual life, and certainly that of our Christian homes, our churches, and that's how we're going to impact society around us. Friends, we'll be back in just 1 minute. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. The severe problem of human trafficking. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
One of the prevalent conflicts in society is the battle over gender and marriage. We are flooded with stories pertaining to drag queen story hours, the restroom debates, gender reassignment surgeries, pronoun identification, biological males on female athletic teams, and so much more. These issues are not only confronting schools and businesses, but they have also encroached inside the church. Many are left wondering how to deal with these matters. The book, The Marriage and Gender War, addresses these issues head-on by using the absolute standard for morality as found in God's Word, and is edited by Bodie Hodge and Ken Ham. The book is designed to equip students, parents, Christian leaders, and others to uphold the truths of Scripture on these critical issues. The Gender and Marriage War is available for a donation of $16 by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about the severe problem of human trafficking. Dr. Richard Schmidt is our guest today. He is pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, Union Grove, Wisconsin. You've got a website you can leave with our listeners?
Well, I think the easiest one to find us on and also have all our emails and contact information is prophecyfocus.org. Prophecyfocus.org.
Okay, prophecyfocus.org. And friends, you'll find a lot of information there on many issues. Let's go to our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. We're going to begin in Milwaukee. And Mary, you're on the air.
Hello, yes. All this talk about human trafficking makes me want to vomit. It's not only about human trafficking, it's also about drugs. About last year in June, Jesus set me free. I used to abuse weed. I used to get high. And I thought there was no hope for me. People would, I know, keep it short and brief, but people at the abortion clinic prayed for me, and I would just dismiss them. And I called out to him and tell him, Jesus, please come into my heart, and he set me free. And I want to thank you all at VCY, too, for your wonderful ministry. And please keep my friends who are still under the influence of the satanic garbage. Please keep them in prayer that they can be delivered, too. He delivered me. God bless you.
Thank you for your call. Praise the Lord for your salvation. She brought up the area of addictions and drugs, and this is something that is a lure as well. I mean, we'll provide you drugs, you know, just come along with us.
Well, absolutely, and they pull young people in, and boy, praise the Lord, Mary, God bless you. It's so great to hear that story. I got goosebumps while you were talking. Actually, at Union Grove Baptist Church, we have an addiction recovery program because, yes, a lot of the addiction issues play right into this. But the unfortunate thing is a lot of these young people that are kidnapped and pulled into it, they're given drugs, and all of a sudden they get hooked and they get slammed into this horrible lifestyle that they can't escape. So it's a two-edged sword, but God bless, a great thing to hear from Mary.
West Allis, Wisconsin. Beth, you're on the air.
Yes, Pastor Schmidt, first of all, I want to tell you I love your show on VCY, your program. It's just so informative, and I really enjoy watching it and getting a lot of information from you. One thing I want to mention is that, you know, this problem has been going on and just has been increasing since, well, I really noticed it in the 80s when parents wanted to be their children's friend, and they just kind of wanted to just kind of be a young child again through their children. I myself, personally, when I was bringing up my son through, you know, 70s and 80s into the 90s, I just looked at it this way. And I wasn't even a Christian then, but I looked at it that he probably will do these things, and I'm going to be looking for it. And I, like I said, I had no Christian background other than, you know, I thought I was a Christian, but I wasn't. So, you know, I'm just saying that God has put inside of us a conscience. All of us have it when we're born. Whether we listen to it or not is one thing. Whether it's enhanced because of our being born again is a totally different thing. But I just think, you know, this is a big problem that's been going on for a long time. And, you know, unfortunately, you talk to parents even today, and there's very few of them that really want to be parents.
Yeah. Thank you, Beth, for raising that issue. And she brought up her earliest comments talked about how parents are just wanting to be their friends. I recall some years ago here in Crosstalk, we were dealing with some of the violent video games and one dad and occultic type things. And a dad said, well, my son is seeing these, you know, looking at posters in his room and seeing swirlings going on in the dog's eyes on these posters. And I said, he's got to stop. You take this away from him. Well, I can't. He'll get mad. I said, you are the father.
Yep. Well, Beth, thanks for the call. It was wonderful. The Bible makes it clear there's no temptation taken you, Christian, but such as is common to man or woman. So it's out there. The temptations are there. Listen, when we as parents, and my children are grown fortunately now, I don't face a lot of things that many folks listening are facing. But if you allow that temptation to get to them and you don't help them fight these temptations by taking away things that are absolutely going to destroy them, you're setting them up for failure. So, yes, it's tough and it's hard and it's not easy being a parent. God never said it was going to be easy. We must take a stand with a sense of urgency.
Let's go next to Justin calling from Gilbert, Arizona. Justin, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering about your thoughts on a central bank digital currency. If we take money out of the equation, will a digital dollar severely interfere with the economy of the underworld, including human trafficking? I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Boy, that's a great question. I'm going to give you my quick educated guess on that. If the government is supporting the garbage that it is today, if the international scene is supporting the trafficking, the drug industry, because if you shut down the drug industry across the world, you're going to hurt economies. Yes, you heard it here. The government is going to protect certain things just to make sure other countries, other economies stay going. So my educated guess, and it's only a guess, a perspective is when digital currency comes on the scene, which it will someday, hopefully after the rapture takes place, it's going to feed right into the debauchery of the Antichrist system that we talked about in Babylon. That will be the headquarters for the Antichrist in Revelation 18. You will not buy or sell unless you have the mark. And the Antichrist world is not going to be a Christian world. It'll be an anti-God, anti-worldview system.
Look at how governments have been promoting the decriminalization of marijuana and legalized recreational marijuana. And some states even that are allowing for the sale and use of hard drugs. And that's being promoted by the governments. And you can't take this away. So very much involved in the proliferation of these vices.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, and I've been saying this ever since I've been in law enforcement and Christian work, which is a long time, government never changed the heart. Only God can change the heart. So don't expect the government to do the right thing.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Got a couple open lines, 800-733-9829. Jody, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to make a brief comment. I have a friend that is a truck driver, an over-the-road truck driver, and it's about 7 years now that they trained the drivers, the truck drivers, to look for behaviors in children and other people because they stop at truck stops and waysides and different things like that to be more alert to children being, or children or women being trafficked, the behaviors of the people that they see in these places, and then to alert the authorities so that they could take it from there. And that's all I wanted to say. God bless you.
Thank you for the call.
Well, first of all, I think I recognize Jody's voice. So if it's you, Jody, good to hear from you. But she's absolutely right. In the law enforcement community, one of the major places that they went to try and fight human trafficking and prostitution, and I'm just going to call it out, the Ryan Road truck stop down in Oak Creek. Now, that was years ago, 4 years ago, so I don't know how that system is. But all across the country, and we travel all over the United States, you go to truck stops, you'll see young ladies, even young men, that'll go up there knocking on the doors of the truckers, trying to sell themselves, and that's part of the trafficking issue. So, yeah, it's a huge issue, and that's why I encourage truckers. Boy, it's a tough road out there, literally. Stand firm in your walk with God, and don't let those temptations overtake you, but walk with God and don't succumb.
Friends, we're talking about human trafficking, a severe problem that is plaguing our communities, our nation as well, and like to get your feedback on it, your questions pertaining to it, your comments on what's taking place. Our number, 800-733-9829. Jimmy is next from Williamsburg, Kentucky. Jimmy, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to talk about the human trafficking problem. It is bad. Like you just said, truck stops and other rest areas and other places, those people will try to approach truckers and get them to, you know, take them in their trucks and so forth. And then it's a bad problem. Also a bad problem is pornography, Planned Parenthood, which our administration now supports, and a lot of Democrat leader support, and as well, I guess, well, some Republican leaders too, they are supporting Planned Parenthood, and they have been handing out pornographic material to elementary school children, and that is real, real bad. People that would traffic in children and hand that pornographic material to children are way low and depraved people who don't know God, and who don't fear God, and don't care about anything except money.
Your comment on this, Pastor, because what we're seeing, this desensitization taking place, whether it be that of Planned Parenthood, or we have those that are inviting young people come into this club after school that's promoting LGBT and questioning, and so therefore, you know, they'll come alongside and, shall I say the word, groom?
Right. Well, I appreciate what Jimmy said, and here's the issue, and I'm going to take it to a little bit different spin right now. Here's the major issue. Many people that are listening to us right now know, you absolutely know, where some of this activity is taking place, but we remain silent because we're scared to say something. There are people in Milwaukee, there's people in Racine, Kenosha, all different states that are listening to this program right now. You see something that's weird, you know it's not right, and yet because we don't want to get in trouble or we don't want to have the law enforcement dealings, we keep silent. Well, folks, unless God's people are willing to take a stand and say, listen, if you see, just like back in the terrorist days when the government, and I like this slogan that the government came up with, if you see something, say something. I've put my name out here on multiple different airwaves. If you don't want to do it, you can call me anonymously. I will keep you out of the equation. You give me the information, you tell me where the address is, you give me anything you can, I will personally run with it regardless of where it is. So, folks, we need to work to stop this. So, yes, all these different things are there, but if you see something, folks, we need you to say something or call me.
Jimmy, thank you for the call. Let's go to Ken in Dallas, Texas. Ken, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Jim. Richard, when I was in high school, I worked for AMP on South 27th Street, and next door to it was a place called the Evergreen, and I would see Cadillacs pulling up every night next door, and everybody would point out, that's Judge so-and-so there, and they ran like a prostitution ring, and they had little kids playing in a trailer park that was right in back of it, and one of the same judges, he used to speak at the, I went to Pulaski High School, and he used to speak about crime in the city and how we better lay down the gauntlet against anybody that was involved in crime, and yet he was one of the biggest molesters of all. And also I was in a church that,
yeah, so I'm going to have Pastor Schmidt respond to this issue about those in places of authority that are they themselves engaged in this.
Well, Ken, thanks for that. It's a strong reminder, and boy, you hit it on the nail. When you have top government officials, whether we're talking federal, state, or local agencies, when you have people that are elected officials that are promoting these things, no wonder our country's going, if you will, down a slippery slope to Satan's home. So, yeah, these things have to be fought. When this information is known, see something, say something.
Thank you for the call. Back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I was reading Luke chapter 11, where Jesus confronted the Pharisees and the scribes of his day and all their ritualistic washing. And he said to them, "Do you not realize the one who made the outside made the inside?" You know, it's convicting. We can look like we have it all together on the outside, but God knows the heart. In fact, that's what the Bible says. God looks on the heart while man looks on the outward appearance. The Bible also goes on through that revelation to explain how Christ is not concerned about ritual. He's concerned about our relationship with him. How many today are counting on rituals to save them? Moralizing, good works, tradition. Isn't it wonderful to know that salvation is a free gift of God by faith alone? Changing our mind about who we are, what we deserve, and trusting in Christ alone. Amen to that, right?
ProphecyFocus.org, the website. And for our guest here today, Pastor Richard Schmidt, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, and spent some 32 years in law enforcement. And I want to address one other issue that the caller was just bringing up, and I knew we had to get a response in before the break, but he was starting to talk about the church as well, or clergy. We see what's happening in religious circles, in which we have seen some grooming going on that has happened in different denominations in particular, but in various settings here. The church does bear responsibility for this as well, correct?
Well, absolutely. And one of the saddest things on earth is when a pastor literally goes into sin. And this has happened so many times in so many places around the country where pastors, they do counseling one-on-one with females. Absolute no-no. They get involved with vulnerable females, take advantage of them. Absolute no. And ladies that are feeling vulnerable and they want to come in and talk to pastors one-on-one, and I will not do that unless there's somebody in the building with us or in the room with us. It's like so dangerous. So pastors, Christian workers, youth workers, getting pulled into these things. Why? Because the Bible again says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Well, men of God got to stand up. Ladies that are involved in ministry need to stand up as well. So, yes, it's a horrible thing that's been taking place and will continue to take place unless God's people get back and get biblically literate, start spending time in the Word of God and walking with Him. It's the only hope.
We've got Dana calling next from Johnston, Iowa. Hi, Dana. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to bring up one thing about you were talking about devices earlier, tablets and cell phones, and young people going into their rooms and locking their door and looking at whatever they want to look at. That can be a little more insidious than what it may look like on the surface. The things that they look at can contain malware and trackers and things like that. That even if they may just be looking at some images, it may have embedded things in the images. And with those trackers, they can know where your child is. They know where your home is. They know where the school your child goes to. They know the route that they take to school. There's a lot of things that they can learn from those trackers and use it in nefarious ways.
Well, thank you so much, Dana. You're absolutely right. And again, trying to protect your children is a full-time job. Trying to keep a track on your children, us keeping a track on our children, is a full-time job. But those that are in the criminal world, those with nefarious nexus, of course, we just got to be cautious on these things. And again, are children going to get pulled into this? Unfortunately, hundreds of thousands of children are pulled into it, and many of them Christians. So again, you want to give your kid a cell phone, I would suggest you give them a flip phone, and I just lost the support of every young person on the planet. But we're trying to protect them, and there's only one way to do that. Protect them.
Thank you for the call. Our number, 800-733-9829. An anonymous caller from Wisconsin. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, Pastor, you know, we were at the drag shows in Racine, Kenosha, Watertown, and there is nary a pastor to be found except for one individual, bless him, out of Brookfield. You probably all know who he might be. But there's no willingness to stand at the council meetings, at the things that are taking place that facilitate trafficking, that facilitate grooming. This is beyond disheartening. This is beyond, and I think, sir, we're past the tipping point when it comes to the 4% number. I think you are right on target with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for your comments. Well, here's where I stand on that. I'm not going to a drag show, just not doing it. If I'm going to interact with people, I'm going to do it in a different venue. Every person I know that goes, and God bless you, if you feel called to do that, then do it. That's not the way I reach out to people in going into that type of an atmosphere, which I don't need to see. So for those that do fight the social causes and you try to make your stands, God bless you. That's wonderful. I will not do that. So again, we reach people, we go to the highways and the byways, but I'm not going to stand in protest of these groups and go for a social cause where we can't have one-on-one conversations. If you're called to do that, God bless you, keep it up. I choose a different methodology.
Willie is calling from Milwaukee. You're on the air, Willie.
Jim, God bless you guys. On this trafficking, a couple of days ago, I read a story where a 17-year-old young lady, she was being trafficked, and she wound up killing her abuser, and now she's in jail right now for murder instead of being a victim. Have you heard of that story? It was in Racine, I believe, Racine, Wisconsin.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with it, Willie.
Yeah, well, I was just wondering about the ones that are trafficking, and God bless you, and that's an awesome topic.
Yeah, thank you for the call here today. I guess, bottom line, even from Willie's call, Pastor, is that there's tragedy just all around.
Well, absolutely there is, and there's so many things, and taking place. We got a little addition to that in the last caller before Willie. The things that are taking place and being supported by the government, whether it's the drag shows, and we had looked at one locally that had just taken place here, all these different things, all this massive amount of push by the government, by the public agencies, by secularized people that are being sucked into this nonsense. Again, from my perspective, from a biblical, strong Christian leader perspective, yes, we need to take a stand, make our voice known. We need to have pastors that will, in the pulpit, make it very well known that this type of thing is not tolerable. But the biggest thing that, and the only thing that's going to change the heart, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So whatever venue you choose to do that in, whether it's going to various gatherings, whether it's the LGBTQ community, whether it's those that are taking part in other things that we, abortion issues, all these different issues that are taking place, the only way to change them is to give the gospel and have a sense of urgency about taking that stand.
Pastor Schmidt, thank you for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Talking about the severe problem of human trafficking, our topic here today, and friends, a lot to learn. A lot to open our eyes as to what's happening in our society today, but also to look introspectively as well, to ourselves, our families, our homes, our community, our churches as well. Let's stand up. Let's be a bearer of the gospel message, the good news that will change man's hearts. The website, prophecyfocus.org. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.